got my bags packed on a roll. I'm heading out there and I'm ready to go. I'm looking real good in my passport photo.
Amateur Traveler, episode 748. Today, the Amateur Traveler talks about beaches and waterfalls, a fort named after Napoleon, moss bands, and carnival as we go to Guadeloupe. Welcome to the Amateur Traveler. I'm your host, Chris Christensen. Let's talk about the Guadeloupe Islands. I'd like to welcome to the show Michela Malazzi from Bare Feet with Michela Malazzi, which you can be seen on PBS or Amazon Prime globally. Michela, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Chris. Thanks for having me.
And if we're laughing, it's because I've managed to say your name somewhat close to correct on the, I don't know how many tries. And Michela, you've come to talk to us about a particular Caribbean island chain. What are we going to talk about today?
We're going to be talking about the Guadeloupe Islands, which I have fallen in love with.
And what is your connection with Guadeloupe or Guadeloupe Islands?
Yeah, so the Guadeloupe Islands are, they are the French Caribbean, part of the French Caribbean. And I got to celebrate Carnival there, which was such a unique and special experience for me. During COVID, all of the Carnival celebrations around the world actually have been canceled.
Right.
But there's so much more to see through the islands, not just during Carnival. It's just such a fascinating place. And I can't wait to share all of the things that your listeners are going to want to do once they hear about it and once they see our episodes, because we have two new episodes featuring the Guadeloupe Islands.
Excellent. And why should someone go to the Guadeloupe Islands?
I love to say the Caribbean itself is probably the most fascinating, culturally rich, diverse place in the world, diverse region in the world. And people only think about the resorts, the beaches, and the sun, right? But there's so much more. It's the people that are there, the music, the dance. I have a TV show where I travel the world through dance and music. So that's my entry point. And the Guadeloupe Islands is a place, if you love music, if you love dance, but you also love food and beautiful beaches, it is this amazing plethora of just beauty. And it's wonderful. It's so welcoming. And yeah, that's why you should go there. You just have such a wonderful time.
And what kind of itinerary are you going to recommend for us?
So like I said, I was there during Carnival season, which I would highly recommend for you to do if you can go. It is busy. It is all of the Caribbean during each of their Carnival seasons is very busy. Carnival in the Guadeloupe Islands usually starts around January. It's always Fat Tuesday, Mardi Gras, but they celebrate pretty much every weekend leading up to Fat Tuesday. So even if you go from January through February or early March, whenever that Carnival season is for that year, you'll get to experience these amazing, amazing celebrations that happen throughout that time. So the wonderful thing is JetBlue just started direct flights from New York City. Mm-hmm. And there's also American Airlines flights from Miami. So you do have, especially on the East Coast, a direct flight to the Guadeloupe Islands, to Pointe-à-Pitre on the island in the airport. It's absolutely beautiful. It is a region of France, just like if you were going to Provence, or it is a region of France. So they speak French. They use the euro as the currency. So that's just something to keep in mind. Most other Caribbean islands, they speak English. Unless you go to the ABC Islands, they speak Dutch, but they also do speak English. But Guadeloupe, they speak French. A lot of people do speak English, but just be aware that the signage is in French. Everything's in French. So if you don't speak French, just keep that in mind. It's a beautiful, beautiful place. As soon as you land, it's the Caribbean. It's this tropical paradise. You could rent a car, but do remember it is part of Europe. So most cars are
standard.
Manual. They're standard. Yeah. So if you do want to book a car rental, I would highly recommend booking it much further in advance than a usual car rental, because they have less automatic cars available.
Sure.
So coming from the States, that would make sense. And again, practice your French, brush up your French, but everyone is so welcoming and kind. And they do speak Creole there too. So French and Creole are the official languages of the islands. Now, what's amazing about the islands, they say they're shaped like a butterfly. And there are these two huge islands. One is Basse-Terre and one is Grande-Terre, like the Big Island and Basse-Terre. And they're just so beautiful because we have a natural reserve, this pristine beaches, amazing food. So you tell me where we want to start, because I can just talk about all this stuff all day.
Well, let's, I don't normally do this, but let's start with the carnival experience. Because I know you want to talk about that, and let's get that out of the way. Now, if people have been to Brazil or they've been to New Orleans to Mardi Gras, they know exactly what they're getting into in Guadeloupe, right?
No, they don't. That's the best part. That's the best part. I love that you brought that up because, and even if you've been to carnival in, let's say, U.S. Virgin Islands or Barbados or Trinidad, Tobago, totally different. And this is why I fell in love with the island, because I had that expectation. Same as, just as you said, these big floats, and you have this idea of what carnival and Mardi Gras is supposed to look like. And it wasn't, I mean, it was celebration, but it wasn't that. So what's beautiful is there are these traditions. As we know, most of the Caribbean, all of the Caribbean, was part of the transatlantic slave trade. So there is a rich African-rooted culture in the Caribbean, but especially in the Guadeloupe Islands. And there is a musical tradition called Guoca. Guoca is actually listed as an intangible heritage by UNESCO that is the identity of the people of the Guadeloupe Islands. And it is a beautiful dance tradition. I was able to take a class, and so can any of these travelers listening. There's a school called Academie Duca. And Academie Duca is a beautiful community school run by a woman. Her name is Madame Pater, and her son, who is the drum teacher, she teaches dance. She's the head of the school. And it is a dance form, an art form, where the drummer and the dancer communicate together through movement, through dance, through music. And the dancer leads the story that's being told. You know, usually you think of the drummer or the musician is making the music and the dancer dances along to the music. This is the opposite. So the drummers, there's three or four drummers that will be playing, but the main drummer has to accentuate every movement that the dancer is making. The drummer has to make the sound from the body movements of the dancer. And what's beautiful is Guoca has these seven rhythms, and each rhythm conveys an emotion, whether that's sadness, joy, hard work that was done in the fields, in the sugarcane fields. All of these emotions are expressed through these rhythms, through dance. And the tumblac, which is one of the main rhythms that exudes happiness, is the one that you'll see throughout all these carnival celebrations and carnival parades. So what's amazing is you land in Guadeloupe, and carnival is, like I said, it starts in January, like after Christmas. They're already celebrating leading up to Fat Tuesday, which is usually mid to end February to even early March. And these Guoca rhythms, it's like the soundtrack to the island. So you would go to the main market in Basse-Terre, and people, these Guoca drummers, they're called Master Kas, because the Ka is the name of the drum. You'll see them roll out these drums into the street. They'll start playing. People will start dancing. And that's where they train. These master drummers are training in the streets, and you'll hear the most virtuosic musicians and these dancers in the streets for free, just making music and teaching a younger generation of drummers. And that, to me, is priceless. Being able to just, you're not sitting in a concert, you're just walking around, seeing life, being able to experience these rhythms that are part of the everyday life of the Guadeloupean people. Now, like I said, Guoca was listed as an intangible heritage by UNESCO. Mm-hmm. And these rhythms were then translated to the mass bands. So mass is short for masquerade. And as in all carnival traditions, especially in South America, Central America, and the Caribbean, this was the one day when people were still enslaved, when there was still slavery before it was abolished. This was the one day that the enslaved people could celebrate. And so they would make a mockery of their masters, right? Of their white masters. And it translated once the abolition of slavery, it was a celebration of freedom. It really is a celebration of freedom, still to this day.
And I'm glad you mentioned it, because it is one of the things that makes carnival different in the Caribbean, for instance, than in New Orleans, is that it does have this association with emancipation. And the white masters didn't take part in carnival once the slaves were freed, and it really became a different thing there than you'd find. And I would have brought it up if you hadn't, so I'm glad you did.
Yeah, no. And it is every Caribbean island I've been to where I've celebrated carnival, it is a celebration of freedom. And it's done in a different way in each place. So U.S. Virgin Islands, when I was there, it's soca music, right? You have these massive trucks with huge stacks, right? These speakers just playing recorded soca music and people walking and winding up the road for hours, right? And a lot of that is what you think of when you think of Caribbean carnival. But in the Guadeloupe Islands, you have mass bands. Now, you do have carnival bands. Carnival bands are, they'd be dressed in beautiful garb. I got to do this. This was part of what we filmed in our episodes, but I danced with a band called Wakashire Band, and they're a carnival band, and it beautiful outfits, like big headdresses and glitter and gold and all this wonderful stuff. But they have, it's always live musicians. It's never recorded music. So the carnival bands use the Guoka rhythms as their base, but they're playing instruments that are made out of those plastic barrels that transport water, or they use those, they use horns, they use an incredible instrument called the shasha, which is a hollowed out calabash fruit. And the seeds are put back in, and it's like a big shaker, and it pierces up because if it's like a tambourine or a shaker, you can really hear it. So they're playing these in the streets, and the girls are singing and dancing, and it's wonderful. And then you have the mas bands. So Mardi Gras, you have all these carnival bands. They're wonderful. And the most unique thing about Guadeloupe that I completely fell in love with were the mas bands, because on Ash Wednesday, on Mercredi de Sand, so on Ash Wednesday, usually all around the world, what is that? That's a day of mourning. That's a day you get the ashes. Nobody celebrates. Fat Tuesdays, you go all out.
Right.
And then done until Easter.
It's a more introspective day.
Right. And in Guadeloupe, in the Guadeloupe Islands, it is that as well, but they still have a parade. They still have a procession. So the mas bands are made up of bands where they're called grupapo, which means the drums are made of skin. So goat skin, eat the heads are made of goat skin. And they are these cultural activist groups that use music, language, dance to fight for their identity, to preserve their identity as Black Guadeloupans. And it is incredible. It's so moving to be part of this. And anybody can participate. That's the beautiful part. Ash Wednesday, traditionally, everyone wears black and white. So you are in this mourning. It's like this birth and rebirth, right? They burn incense. And it is this sort of, people can almost go into a trance because you're marching in the street. There's no dancing. It's just marching to this music that is driven so powerfully. And what's amazing is we started, there's this one band called Akio, which is the Mother Mas band. And they started, and it was literally like everybody knew that all at once we were set to go, and we went, and they started marching in the streets of Pointe-à-Pitre, and people just started filing in from the sides of the streets dressed in black and white, thousands and thousands and thousands. I mean, we started with 100 people, and thousands of people just walking in the street to this rhythm, this march in time. And then they would break off as other mas bands would take over and take them on a side street. And then they have another rhythm and another side street. So you just see this wave of people marching proudly. It's unbelievable just to experience that. And the amazing thing, this is the best part. They do that on Ash Wednesday, but every Sunday leading up to Mardi Gras, each of these mas bands, because there are now mas bands in every neighborhood around the two islands, they march in their neighborhood leading up to the celebration of Carnival. So you can experience this. If you're not there for Ash Wednesday, you can still experience that anywhere from January till Ash Wednesday. It's so powerful. It's just something you have to experience for yourself because you get swept up in it. There's this energy that pulls you. And I've never seen anything like it anywhere else on any other Caribbean island. And they dress up in traditional African garb. They use recycled materials. So it's very different from your sparkly, shiny costume. It's these more traditional, they use organic materials. They use things that you would find on the island, right, to convey their ancestors' spirits. It's really beautiful. So that's what's the most unique, I think, about carnival celebrations in the Guadeloupe Islands compared to any other place that I know of, really.
Excellent. Anything else we want to say on carnival? I want to move us off to what happens when we're sweeping up after the party and you're feeling a little better. Maybe you may got a hangover from the music or something, but what else then are we going to do in the Guadeloupe Islands?
But other things to do. So one of the celebrations that they have during Carnival is called, it's Monday of Carnival. And it's a parade that they celebrate the fruit and vegetable market vendors because they, and I'm only saying this, not that you have to go to this specific parade, but they respect so highly the women because they're only women that would sell the fresh fruits and vegetables at the main market in Basse-Terre. And it is a tradition to venerate them in a huge procession. So when you go to the Guadeloupe Islands, visit the fruit and vegetable market in the center of Basse-Terre, the city, because there's Basse-Terre, the island, and then there's the main city of Basse-Terre. And there's a beautiful market there, fresh fruits, fresh vegetables, all Caribbean spices, And they have the drummers, they have music there. And what's a wonderful souvenir from there, aside from I bought a shasha, right? The calabash instrument. I love buying instruments as my souvenirs wherever I go. But they also have an incredible print called madras. Now, madras comes from India. So after emancipation, there was a huge influx of people from India who were working on the island. And it's that beautiful, colorful, sort of Scottish kilt looking. It looks like a tartan, except it's bright colored, like orange and yellows and pinks. And so they sort of had that English influence into the cross weaving. And then it was brought over to the islands. And it's this beautiful print. They sell dolls with this print. They sell shirts. They sell dresses. They also love to sell coifs, and that's the head wrap. So you can get a coif done if you go to any of the cities in any of these markets. They have outdoor markets everywhere you go, and they'll wrap your head in a coif. And it's like this gorgeous, it's an art form of just creating these headpieces for any of the women who are listening who want to get a coif done. I just love that because it's so iconic. Those colors are so iconic to the Guadeloupe Islands. So like I said, the Guadeloupe Islands were obviously part of the transatlantic slave trade. There was a new museum recently, I think it was in 2015, that was built called Memorial Act, A-C-T-E. And it's in Pointe-à-Pitre on Grande-Terre, that's the big island. And it's a cultural center dedicated to the memory and history of the slave trade. It's quite powerful. Mm-hmm. It is a must see when you go to the islands. Even the architecture of just the building is quite stunning. And it's part of UNESCO's Slave Route project.
Oh, I don't know that project.
So it's a global initiative to promote the peoples that share the legacy of this tragedy, right? I think it was commissioned by France. It is part of France, but it's to acknowledge everything that happened on the islands. More than 150 years after the abolition of slavery, there's still so much untold about what happened on the islands, the struggles and the bondage in the Guadeloupe Islands. It's a necessary story to be told, and it's a beautiful, beautiful building. And what's amazing, too, to tie this back to the Moss bands that we met with, they started this activism in the 90s. And because of their work through the music, through the dance, through those Moss bands and through Gorkha, Creole is now, first of all, it's a national language on the islands, and it's also taught in the schools, and you can get a degree in Creole. So it's really become an elevated language that is being recognized by the country and also by the people and proudly being taught within the community. So that's one of the many, many things that's come out of the music and activism through the music. I would definitely stop there. One of my favorite dishes that I ate, and I ate a couple different variations of it, was bokit. Bokit is basically the national street food of the Guadeloupe Islands. Bokit is like a Johnny cake.
Oh, sure. Mm-hmm. So a corn pancake is a Johnny cake.
Well, it depends where you are. It could be corn, it could be flour, but it's basically fried dough. Okay. Whatever it's made of.
Yeah, I love me some fried dough. So
right, anything fried is amazing. So you have this beautiful bread, fluffy bread, fried. They slice it open. You can have chicken in it. You can have fresh cod in it. You could have fried cod in it, grilled. They put some sauce, and then they stuff it. It's huge. You could eat one of those in a day and be good for the day. I mean, but there are food trucks. And there are little shops, and I would go to just like the smallest hole-in-the-wall little bokit shops are the best ones you're going to find. And they're all over the island.
Okay.
And they're amazing. They're maybe like €4, €3.
I would call it more of a flatbread from what I'm looking at here.
It's pretty big. It's pretty sure. Big. Yeah. But and it's fried. So
right.
I don't know.
Almost more like a Navajo fry bread.
When I was in U.S. Virgin Islands, Johnny cakes looked like what we had there. We have something in Italy called pizza fritta, which is like fried pizza. Well, pizza dough. It's the same thing. I mean, I feel like in every culture, there's some sort of bread and oil and it's magic, right?
Hey, get me through in some cheese and I can live. So
there you go. So the bokit, B-O-K-I-T, it is delicious. It's amazing. They also have the most delicious coconut ice cream. So any beach that you go to, and I'll talk about a few of the beaches that you should go to. Mm-hmm. Get the coconut ice cream because they're fresh coconuts from the island. They make it fresh right on the beach. It's just, we just did a virtual tour of the Guadeloupe Islands with our favorite guide. His name is Rudy Mann, and he's a guide and he's also a DJ. So I recommend looking for Rudy. That's his name in French. Rudy is the best guide in all of the Guadeloupe Islands. And not only will he take you to some of the best places on the island, he will also be playing the best music wherever you go. And you may even see him DJing at some of the parties that you go to. He's great. He's phenomenal. We love Rudy. What's also wonderful about the Guadeloupe Islands is they have a natural reserve.
Okay.
And there's a national park, and it's in Basse-Terre. Most of Basse-Terre is actually a national park.
Okay. I saw pictures of waterfalls and Basse-Terre.
It's unbelievable. And you can climb the summit of, there's a volcano called La Soufrière. I don't know if my French is not very good, but there is, they like to say, a gently active volcano.
That's what the tourism folks say, right?
Right? Gently active volcano that you can climb to the summit of, okay, and start the climb at Le Bain Jean, which are the hot springs. Okay. You can visit the hot springs and you make your way up the trail, and it's just a lush rainforest and an incredible amount of birds and tropical birds to see. It's stunning. It's absolutely stunning. I would spend a whole day there, too, if you could.
The funny thing is that the name of the island is Low Earth, and the name of the other island is Big Earth. Low Earth is a little smaller, a little shorter than Big Earth,
right?
But not so much. It's like 4,000 feet, 5,000 feet. I mean, they both are volcanic islands.
It's stunning. When you visit the islands, Pointe-à-Pitre reminds me a lot of New Orleans, to be honest. You see Creole houses everywhere, colorful houses. It's a small city, a Caribbean city. But then you're driving out maybe 10, 15 minutes, and Pointe-à-Pitre is right over to Basse-Terre, the other island. So it's literally like you cross the bridge and you're in Pointe-à-Pitre. So being in the center of the main city of Pointe-à-Pitre, it's not far to drive to the national park. And then Basse-Terre is a little bit of a drive. And that's another wonderful city where they have the ports. And that's where we had our amazing boquit from the food trucks along the port. And, you know, they do have cruise ships that come in. We actually were able to jump onto a thing called the Be Black Cruise during Carnival. And they have a whole Carnival experience on the cruise ship, which is a wonderful show, and they have all these great performances. But then once you dock, they have a miniature Carnival experience that I think they do all year round now, because they saw that it was such a draw for tourists to want to celebrate Carnival when it wasn't Carnival, that they're having it most of the year. So in Basse-Terre, is where the cruise ships port. And some places to stay, we stayed at Le Creole Beach Hotel and Spa. It's in Grande-Terre and Le Gosier, which is a beautiful area. And you have the white sandy beaches there. There's a tropical garden. You step out of your hotel and there's like palm trees there going out into the water. It's wonderful. And they've opened up also like a Club Med for families. The thing about the Guadeloupe Islands is they're still developing a lot of the newer hotels. So you do find a lot of the smaller family-run properties, but they've updated to 4-star and 5-star hotels in the past few years, which is wonderful, really, really amazing. There's a 5-star hotel called La Tubana Hotel and Spa, and that's in St. Anne in Grande-Terre. Now, St. Anne is probably the most beautiful beach in the Guadeloupe Islands. It is pristine white beaches, plenty of room. It's an exclusive hotel. It has an infinity pool. It has their own private beach. They have an ocean spa, and it's become pretty trendy among French tourists. Again, a lot of the tourists that come in are European, mainly French. So if you do like to go to destinations where there aren't too many Americans yet, this is kind of the place. I mean, if you speak French, it's even better.
Well, and it seems so like wonderful. In terms of places to stay, the whole island's, 20 miles across, something like that. Mm-hmm. And so you could stay in one place for whatever time you were there. Yeah.
One night. Yeah, exactly. You can hop around. I would recommend you could end up spending a full day just driving around, because the islands are small, but the roads are very windy. So I would recommend spending time. If you're going to go to the beach for the day, just go to the beach for the day. And then maybe that night go out in Pointe-à-Pitre or go out in Basse-Terre, wherever you're the closest. And stay there, because driving around, again, it's small, but it's so windy because the terrain is very rugged. Like you said, it's the Big Earth and the Low Earth. I mean, this is volcanic rock. So everything's built into the natural way that the earth was formed, the rock formations, which is stunning. But it's not straight lines. So you definitely want to give yourself time for driving. Definitely take your time with getting from point A to point B where you have to go. It's just a good way to do that. I did not go to the other two islands, but there are two smaller islands that are very, very private. Marie Galante and La Désirade, where they, I mean, if you really want to get away from it all, I know that you can do trips there. I haven't done it yet, so I can't tell you what that would look like. But there are technically four islands in the Guadalupe Islands, and then there's a fifth little bundle of tiny islands, and they're inhabited. They're like tiny, tiny little inlets.
Is that the Saints? I'm saying that obviously in English instead of French, but les Saints.
Ile des Saints. Ile des Saints. But the other two islands, we didn't get a chance to visit, but all of the Guadalupe Islands is just stunning. You can't go wrong, especially if you have Rudy as your guide. You can't go wrong. I love him. He's the best.
Anything else specific you want to recommend before we kind of get to some of our wrap-up questions?
Well, there's the Pointe du Château. It's the eastern tip of Grande Terre, and it forms a long peninsula. And there's all these cliffs and a giant cross called La Pointe du Château. So there's a hike to the cross.
Is there a chateau on La Pointe du Château?
There is the cross. I think there used to be one, and now there's just a cross there. Yeah. But there's a dramatic cliff that you'll watch the waves crashing in, and it's you'll see the best view of the island of Le Désirade, right? That little island that I was talking about. So you can see it from there. So that's an interesting point to see such dramatic nature. Pointe du Château. And then you can go to Le Saint Island. Those are the inhabited islands, but you could take the ferry to Le Saint Archipelago, and you'll dock in the Bay of Le Saint, which is a member of UNESCO's most beautiful bays in the world club. Wow, I didn't even realize they had that.
I didn't know there was a club.
UNESCO has a lot of
categories.
Can one
categories. Join that club? Are there dues?
Oh my gosh. And then it says, visit Terre des Hautes, a beautiful fisherman's village, and it has bistro-lined streets. So yeah, there's Fort Napoleon, and it has the best views of the entire Guadalupe Islands because you're on the southwestern tip of watching the Guadalupe Islands. So you have those dramatic views. But yeah, the Saints, Le Saint, are a must visit. Take the ferry. And the ferry would leave from Basse-Terre, the city of Basse-Terre. Yeah. And some of the other hotels, they have eco-lodges that they've been building there. And there's one called De Chai. I know I'm saying this wrong because, again, I don't speak French. I speak Italian, where we pronounce every single letter.
Yes, of course you do.
But it's called Tenda Cayou, T-E-N-D-A-C-A-Y-O-U. And it's a treehouse village in the heart of the rainforest, which sounds amazing. And all rooms are actually bungalows.
Okay.
So if you really want to get immersed into the destination through nature, if you love being around nature, this is a perfect place to stay. Perfect for nature lovers. And if you want to just be steps away from the natural reserve and the national park, it's amazing. Again, like I said, most of Basse-Terre is a national reserve, most of it. A majority of that. And so most of the cities and all of the things happening are in Grande Terre. Pointe-à-Pitre is in Grande Terre, in Gosier. Gosier has a great nightlife if you want to go dancing. I would highly recommend asking your hotel, where can I do souk dancing? Where can we go souk dancing?
Okay. Souk.
Souk.
Is that to me, that's a Middle Eastern word. So what does souk dancing in this case mean?
It's like a partner dance. It's like a very sensual...
All
but
right,
you'll go
then.
To a club and you'll always find a good time, right? It's very respectful, but a lot of people go there to dance with whoever they're traveling with or whoever they're with. It's not to go pick up people. It's really a fun, you'll see old couples like 80-year-olds dancing souk, and you'll see others, young kids dancing souk. It's just a really cool part of the culture where people go to a club and they dance together. It's really fun. Okay. Yeah.
Excellent. As we get to some of our wrap-up questions, you're standing in the prettiest spot. Where are you standing? What are you looking at?
Oh, my goodness. Well, I would say if I was not me. No, and I say this because I love being around people. When I travel, I need to be around people.
I find that easy to believe about you.
You know me, Chris. You know this. So when I go to a destination, it could be the most beautiful place on earth. And I take it in for a minute, and then I'm like, I want to dance with someone. I want to make music with someone. I want to hug someone. COVID's been really tough for me, obviously. But so the most beautiful thing that I'm looking at is the marches of the MAS bands through the streets of Pointe-à-Pitre with their drums. Okay. If I was not me, it's looking into the National Park of Basse-Terre. It is okay. Just stunning. It's absolutely stunning. And if you turn around the other direction, you're looking at the incredible beaches right behind you. I mean, it really is that. You have this lush, beautiful place filled with incredible culture. And I know, I think I've heard you say this on Clubhouse when you say, every time I interview someone and they say, I can't believe how nice the people are. Because you're like,
yeah, this is not nice. Acceptable as an answer anymore.
Yeah. And I'm not going to say, I can't believe how nice the people are.
It's not that it's not true. It's just that right. It shouldn't surprise us. That's the only thing I'd say.
Exactly. And it doesn't surprise me that the people are so kind. But what does surprise me is whenever, especially when I go to anywhere, but in Guadeloupe in particular, was how open they were to sharing this side of their culture with me. I'm not Black, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that's a really important part of the story, is that I felt extremely welcome into this particular side of their culture, which is very much about preserving their identity, preserving the culture in a way that has been fought and tried to be taken down many times. So I felt incredibly honored to be able to share that. And it was just phenomenal. I just love that. That's how I felt about the whole island. It was welcoming, very open, and I was able to experience the place as deeply as I feel every place that I go to through its music and dance. It really was.
Excellent. One thing that makes you laugh and say only in the Guadeloupe Islands.
Oh, Rudy, my guide, Rudy. He is. All of my outtakes from the islands from our show are with Rudy. He makes me laugh. He's hilarious. And he makes me laugh so much. We still, like, I had him on to do an interview with him. He speaks broken English. I speak barely any French. And we're both cracking up. I was lucky enough to go to the Guadeloupe Islands twice. Mm-hmm. And every time, the second time I saw him, we were like, I cannot believe we get to see each other again. And there's this friendship that was built so quickly with this man. He's hilarious. And he's just like a jack of all trades. I think that's what cracks me up about him. He can do anything. If you need anything, he's your guy. I'm going to say this, and the tourism board's probably going to kill me, but we were filming and we were at the end of filming and we'd shoot 14-hour days. I mean, it's just brutal. We had just wrapped and I said, Rudy, I need soup. It was like February, so it was hot. It was tropical weather. So it's 80 degrees outside. He goes, you want soup? It's too hot outside. I said, I know, I need soup. And he goes, do you like tripe? I said, I love tripe. He goes, I'll take you to the best soup place in all of Guadeloupe Islands. I'm not going to tell you the name of this place because I don't know the name of it, but I will tell you, it's not a soup place. We walk in, my videographer and I, and we're looking around and there are these young women in tight dresses and these older men sitting around. And it was like a strip joint, but they had the best soup on the entire island. And we were hanging out with the girls and I'm eating the best damn soup of my life. And that's Rudy. That's Rudy for you. That's all I have to say. But he is the man, the mayor of Guadeloupe. I like to call him the mayor of Guadeloupe Islands. I'm going to get in trouble saying that, won't I?
Yes, you are. And the last question we have for you, if you had to summarize Guadeloupe Islands in three words, what three words are you going to use?
Powerful.
Okay.
Vibrant.
Okay.
And green. It's just green.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Our guest again has been Michaela.
Michaela.
Michaela. Michaela Malazzi. And her website, we didn't mention the website, which is travelbarefeet.com. And you can find the two different shows that you have done linked to from there, I believe, on Guadeloupe Islands.
Yeah, so we have a two-part special featuring Carnival on the Guadeloupe Islands. You get to meet Rudy. You get to see my experience doing Carnival, eating Boquete. So most of the things that I've mentioned in this episode of the podcast, you can see for yourself and say, okay, now I really need to go. They're on our website at Travel Bare Feet. You can watch them on your local PBS station, and they're available on the PBS app or on pbs.org.
Excellent. Well, and I should say, we have known each other now for, I don't know, back
a long
when,
time.
Something like 8 years, 10 years, somewhere
at
in
least.
That range.
I think 10 years now, Chris. It's crazy.
Could be. And I definitely was one of those people who, you're going to do what? You're going to dance around the world and film it? never going to work. So when you go there, check out the number of Emmys that she has won.
Thank you.
Just show you exactly how wrong I was.
No, but it's been an honor to grow with you. I mean, you are OG, Chris. You really are. You've been a mentor in sorts to me and a lot of us who have been working at this for a while, whether that's in video or podcasting or writing or whatever the storytelling method is. You've really been a North Star for a lot of us. So I appreciate you and thank you for having me on. And I hope everyone enjoys planning their trip to the Guadalupe Islands because it is just wonderful.
Well, and you mentioned podcasting. You have a podcast now.
I do. And I want to revisit it again because I had to put on hold when we were producing this Guadalupe special that just came out. But I hope to get back. It's about telling stories of dance and music through my travels that I wasn't able to get to. Sometimes we have to cut some stories from our show or sometimes a story just doesn't fit on our show, but I want to feature it. And so I thought, why not create a podcast? And I was getting a lot of messages from fans saying, oh, your voice is so soothing, your voiceover. So I said, I should do a podcast just like yours, Chris. I'm sure people love hearing your voice.
It's not my real voice, of course. My real voice is high and squeaky, but this is my podcast voice.
That's your podcast voice. Yeah.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for coming on Amateur Traveler and sharing with us your love for Guadalupe Islands.
Thank you so much, Chris.
Thanks to all of those who support the show through Patreon. Special thanks to Nicole Luque, who is the most recent patron of the show. She says, I love the show and have for years. Sorry it took so long to subscribe. Honestly, I'm always pleased and a little surprised when people support the show in this way, but thanks to all of those who do. You can also support the show if you're interested by going to patreon.com/amateurtraveler and make a monthly pledge. Another way to support the show is to offer to come on the show. I'm always looking for people to pitch me ideas for shows that we either have not covered or that need to be covered again because we covered them so long ago. And if you're interested, you can go to amateurtraveler.com/pitch.me or drop me an email to host@amateurtraveler.com with an idea for a pitch. But do go to that pitching document first and save yourself some trouble. With that, we're going to end this episode of The Amateur Traveler. If you have any questions, send an email to host@amateurtraveler.com, or better yet, leave a comment on this episode at amateurtraveler.com. And thanks so much for listening. I got to see one more cathedral. I got to sit in one more cafe. I know that I should be heading home, but maybe not today.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.